Most kids really enjoy playing outside. Most kids enjoy playing on the playground. Now, I recognize that this is not necessarily descriptive of all kids, that all kids don't necessarily enjoy getting hot and sweaty and dirty and that sort of thing, but most do. I can remember probably 9 or 10 years ago, I was with a youth group at a camp, and all of the kids are just doing what they do whenever they have free time, and everybody's running around and doing their thing, and there's this one girl who's just kind of on the edge, and she's not you know, playing with the other kids. And so I'm thinking maybe something's wrong, and so I go over to her, and I ask her if everything's okay, and she just looks at me and she says, "Mr. Jason, I don't do dirt." But most kids do dirt. Most kids like to play, and most kids like to play on the playground. When I was a kid, if you were to ask me what my two favorite subjects in school were, I would tell you lunch and recess, right? And so I thought that I'd start today by showing you the two cutest kids in the world playing on a swing set. Go ahead and go to the next slide there. Took these pictures of my girls not too awful long ago, and it just kind of worked its way into the sermon today. Think about when you were a kid and the things that you'd like to do and play whenever you'd go to the playground. There are swings, slides, monkey bars, and in general, eventually, kids are going to play a game of tag. Now, with the game of tag, kids will run around, someone will be it. And that person who is it will run, and all the kids will be like banshees screaming as the one person who's it goes and tries to tag somebody else just to make somebody else it, right? But in the game, what's the goal of the other kids, all the other ones who are not it? Their goal is to get to base. Because if you can get to base is safe. Base is a place that you can't be tagged out. Base is a place of safety and security. And maybe that begins to illustrate what we've been about over the last number of weeks as we as a church family have focused upon this idea of sanctuary, recognizing that God is our place of safety, that God, He wants for us to dwell within Him. He wants to protect us, to be our rock, to be our redeemer, to be our fortress. And that we dwell in God, and not only do we dwell in God, but God dwells within us. That somehow we are His sanctuary. And this morning we're going to focus upon the idea of church as base. This is base. This is a place of safety. This is to be a place of safety, a place of security, a place of solace. That if we do not find it anywhere else in this life, we are to find it within the people of God. Psalm 42 is where we're going to turn this morning. If you want to either turn or open your electronic devices in that direction, we're going to focus the entirety of our time here in this psalm. This is a psalm that's written in exile, as a few of these psalms that we've considered during this series have been. Psalms that are written while Israel is in exile, as they are in unfamiliar territory, in desolate and desperate circumstances, and as they're finding themselves longing to be near not only God, but near His temple to worship Him, to be gathered among His people. Let me read these words from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. Your translation may read, as the deer longs for God, or longs for the streams of water, so my soul longs for You, O God. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? There's a yearning and an anticipation here. This questioning of God's people yearning for closeness with God, yearning for worship of God, and yearning to gather together as God's people. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? The psalmist is describing not only this yearning to be with God, but this rejection of those around him. This rejection of those who are mocking his faith, mocking his belief. Those who say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my God and my Savior. Psalmist, in essence, talking to himself. Maybe this justifies you if you talk to yourself. But look at his question. Look at the question that he's asking. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then this voice of hope. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers, they've swept over me. They've overwhelmed me. By day, the Lord, by day, Yahweh directs His love. At night, His song is within me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. This is a psalm of peace, but it is a psalm of peace amidst pain. It's a psalm of hope, but it's a psalm of hope in the middle of turmoil. It's a psalm of yearning. It's also a psalm of trust. Psalm 42, this is actually at the center of a song by the Zoe group that's called As Deep Calls to Deep. Ryan Smith's uncle, Randy Gill, who was actually here a couple of weeks ago, Randy is OG with the Zoe group. And he's actually the one that composed the song that the Zoe group sings called As Deep Calls to Deep. And he wrote the song As Deep Calls the Deep. He wrote it not only in reflection of Psalm 42, but he wrote it out of a place of deep pain experienced in his own life. As he turned to Psalm 42 out of a place of anguish and hurt and turmoil and uncertainty in his own life, and as he penned the words to the song, As Deep Calls to Deep. And so what I want to do is maybe a bit out of our norm. I want for you to keep in mind that the song, As Deep Calls to Deep, by Zoe Group, is based upon Psalm 42. And also keep in mind that the song was penned out of deep pain. And we're actually going to, this is a song that Aaron led for us a number of times. It's a song that many are familiar with. We're actually going to sing this song along with along with the Zoe group. And so we're going to pause the sermon, and we're going to press play on the song, and I'm going to sit down. And guys, you'll need to unmute it before you go to the next slide, but as you go to the next slide, it should play directly.
From the depths of my soul, I cry out. From the depths of my soul, I cry out. Lord, can you hear me? Have mercy, O God. From the depths of my soul, I cry out. In the midst of the sea, I cry out. In the midst of the sea, I cry out. Save me, the water is over my head. In the midst of the sea, I cry out. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to weep. There is a time for sorrow when deep calls to deep. In my moments of grief, I cry out. In my moments of grief, I cry out. Have you forgotten me? Where are you? Of grief, I cry out. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to weep. There is a time for sorrow and deep calls to deep. From the depths of my soul, I cry out. From the depths of my soul, I cry out. Still I will praise you, Lord. Still I will praise you, Lord.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants, so my soul yearns, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls as your waves and your breakers have swept over me. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why soul so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise Him, my God and my Savior. The psalmist defines refuge as those who have been redeemed, gathered together, worshiping and praising and sharing around the throne of God. And we see within this, we see not only the need for assembly, we see the need for being a part of God's people, the need for church, the need for the relationships that exist among followers of God, the freedom to be with believers. Refuge is being in that safe place. Sanctuary is making it to base. Because once you're on base, you're safe. the idea of the church as sanctuary. In Numbers chapter 35, you see God designating to Israel these cities of sanctuary, 48 different cities of refuge designated by God in order for people in Israel to be able to go to for safety, particularly those who are on the run. But God, He designates in Israel these cities of refuge in which individuals could flee, could go, and could seek peace. They could seek safety. They could seek security, and they could find peace, safety, and security. These cities that God designates, these places within His people, within Israel, these cities of refuge. And I think that's an image that the church is to be. That you and I, that we're all refugees seeking refuge, refuge in God. And we're seeking refuge in one another. Church is to be a safe place. And I'm not necessarily even talking about the prayer that we sometimes pray. Sometimes we will pray for God to keep us safe. Or we will thank God that we're able to worship in a place of safety. And I think that's a good prayer that we should pray. I think when we look at church history, we also see that the church in times of turmoil oftentimes thrived. There's nothing wrong with us praying for peace and for safety when it comes to pressures from without. But the question that I think comes out of Psalm 42 in particular is the question that we have today as believers of, is the church, is it a safe place? Is our relationship with God and our relationship with others such that we can share, that we can walk alongside of one another, that we can grow with one another, that we can encourage, that we can uplift, that we can share life, that we can disagree even? Because we never quite know if we're unified with someone until we find a way that we're different, right? Otherwise, we don't have unity, we have uniformity. For us to come together and to be church together, that church is not simply something that we do, but church is who we are. And Eastridge is, I pray, that place of sanctuary, of refuge. We strive to be a place of healing, spiritually, emotionally. There are many here who perhaps can relate to what brought you here to Eastridge. Maybe you came to this church out of a place of pain. Maybe experiencing difficulties and burdens and hardships in life. And yet those things are what led you here to Eastridge. There are many here that can perhaps even relate to experiencing negative things in church elsewhere. And that by experiencing those things, those events led you to coming here to this place. And I pray that you don't hear any sort of arrogance in this at all. But for us to seek safety and comfort and solace and security and refuge in and among the body of believers, and we experience this here in this place, that at times there will be those who come from other places with burdens and with hurts and with difficulties, and they come here for healing. And when that happens within your fellowship, you're doing something right. And we've seen that time and time again. Now I will echo the words of Dwight Walker, that Eastridge is not the promised land, but you can get there or see it from here. Something along those lines, right? It's not the promised land, but you can see it or get there from here. But I pray that there is an openness and a willingness here to be a house of healing for people who are hurting. Whatever it is that's caused that hurt. In J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series, in the final volume, The Return of the King, there are these houses of healing in Gondor in which people that are injured can go to be restored. Now, I realize with that illustration, I have just revealed my inner nerd. But it's not as if you didn't already know, right? Church is to be a house of healing. And I pray to God that not only that we are, but that we continue to be. That we intentionally seek to foster an environment of peace and of comfort here in this place. I've not shared this often, but Tirsa and I and our family, when we came here 2.5 years ago, we came here a bit wounded. Wounded by church. Just a few individuals, not the whole church. But we came here wounded. And this church, from the very beginning, not just from our beginning of worshiping here with you and getting to know you, from the very beginning of our conversations with the leadership here, this church has been and continues to be a house of healing for us. And we continue to experience it as we share life and do life together. That's been our experience. That's the way that it ought to be. That those who are on the outside of faith, as they're looking to the inside, to those on the inside, and maybe even those who are on the inside of faith, they're asking the question of when they step within these walls and into this fellowship, or maybe even when they have interaction with us and the conversations that we share with others in life, that many are asking the question, is church a safe place? And you and I, whether you realize it or not, you represent not only God, but if you're a part of the church fellowship that meets here in this place, you represent not only God, you represent Eastridge in the life that you live. That we represent God and we represent this place and the priorities we have and the things that we do, the things that we're a part of, the conversations that we have, what we post on social media, the things that we involve ourselves in life reflect not only our relationship with God and our connection to God, but our connection to this place. And there are those who have faith. There are those who have faith. And there are those who are still on the edge. And many are asking the question, is this a safe place? Is this a sanctuary? And you and I, we have the God-given opportunity to reveal that. And quite frankly, if a church does not foster an environment of sanctuary where we can share and where we can grow and where we can give grace and receive grace, in any relationship where grace is withheld, the relationship is doomed to fail. Church is a place to give grace and to receive grace. But any time we withhold it, we speak of restoration, but if we withhold that, we haven't restored anything. But to seek to be a church of restoration, restoring faith and restoring lives. And I truly believe that to be at the core of church as sanctuary. All right, this is going to be a bit abrupt, but this is where I want to leave things today, all right? I want to leave things here today, and I want to pick up with them with this idea next week, with the idea of church as sanctuary, church as a place of refuge, to be a church that the peace and the grace of God are evident in every aspect of church, evident in every aspect of life, at every level. That this is base. And what this leads us to is for you and I and this church to be a conduit of reconciliation. To be one with and reconciled to God. And to be one with one another. One with Him and one with one another. Not only to hear or to intellectually consume this idea of church as base, but for that to be a reality to us. For us to think about what God has called us to as His people and who He's called us to be as a church family. For us to live up to and to lean into what God calls us to do and who He calls us to be. This morning, as always, we want to extend a time of invitation. And truly, it's the Lord's invitation, not ours. And perhaps even with us discussing these sort of ideas of safety, security, and healing, that the healing that is required that only God can provide. Perhaps there's someone here today that's hurting in some way or who has been hurt in some way. We can bless you or surround you as your brothers and sisters in faith. Please allow us the honor to be able to do so as we stand and as Adam leads us in song.